we're doing Megillah Shuros Monday night when we begin. So we discussed that the Megillah's prime teaching is about Chesed, and we learned how Elimelech was a tremendously great person. The Navi seems to describe him as much greater than his wife Naomi, and we see how great she was, and his two children. And he was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. His two children died, and they left behind their widows and their widowed mother. They lost all their wealth. And then Naomi returns to the land of Israel, and Ruth is insistent that she wants to come with her and become Jewish. And at that time, it was unclear whether Ruth could ever marry into the Jewish people, for she was a Moabite woman. When they came back, they kept it quiet that they were so impoverished. They didn't want to ask favors from their relatives. So Ruth, even though she's a princess, she's the daughter of Eglon the king, she goes out to the fields to gather what the poor are entitled to, leket shikha and peah. And she happens, so to speak. God ensures that she lands in the field of Boaz, who's really a relative of her former husband, the relative of Naomi and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. So Boaz comes to that field, and he greets the people harvesting. Now, he sees the people harvesting, and there's a girl among them. Usually girls don't come to the field. The men come to the field. So he asks them, Hashem imachem, is God with you? Is something improper going on here? And they answer him, Yevarecha Hashem, God is with us, and may God be with you, and may you merit to marry this girl, because she's a tzanua, she's a fine girl, and you need a shidduch. So Boaz is an old man by now. He's already had many, many children. He's already lost his children. They passed away in his lifetime. And Boaz lost his wife a few weeks earlier. And now, nonetheless, they're telling him, this girl's fit for you, Boaz. This girl's a modest girl. Yevarecha Hashem, God should bless you with this girl. Even though she's much, much younger than Boaz. And she's a girl. So Boaz asks them, if she's fit for me, so what family is she from? So the lad tells him, oh, you know what girl this girl is? She came back with Naomi. She left her home territory, she left her family, she left her nation, and she came here just because she wanted to be a Jew. She left everything. And once she came here, she wasn't lazy. She didn't sit back and just rest. But no, she's an Eishes Chayil. Right away she went to see how she could take care of supporting the family. And she came here from early in the morning all day. She's been harvesting. Look what an Eishes Chayil she is. She just went home for a small break in the middle to rest. So Boaz hears they're trying to set up a shidduch between him and Ruth. So he goes over to Ruth and he says, you hear they're trying to set us up? Do me a favor. Don't leave my field. You stick to my fields. I have a lot of fields. Not only this field, you stick to my fields. And do me a favor. I have male harvesters and female harvesters, even though I know you're fine, you're okay. But it's more modest that you stick with my female harvesters. I have girls doing the work. Stick to them. And here we see that Ruth lacked a certain sensitivity. She was coming from non-Jewish territory. She was coming from Moabite territory. She was accustomed to boys and girls working together. Nothing wrong with that. And in Judaism, we expect a different level of modesty. So Boaz tells her, stick with my girls. And she hears these words of Boaz, and she bows and gives thanks. Now, Boaz is really telling her, you stick with my lads, and from my fields you should support yourself. When you're thirsty, when you're hungry, come and eat and drink with the workers here. Come and drink with the workers here. She bows and she says, why have I found so much favor in your eyes? if a person doesn't know anyone else, so usually there's no relationship between them. And Rus, when she sees he's offering her all the kindness, so Rus says, I don't understand, you don't know me. Why are you offering me all of this? And Boaz tells her, I've heard about you. I've heard your history, so that's why I want you to stick around. Now, Rus has a certain level of disappointment. Because on the one hand, he's saying, stick around. On the other hand, he's not taking her out on a date. So what's going on here? He's telling her, stick with my field, but he's not offering her marriage or anything in that direction. So it seems like he's treating her like a maid. He's telling her, stick around, collect with my girls. So she's a little embarrassed. Wait a second. You began as though something's... you're interested in me. And then you tell me, so keep harvesting with the poor, with my girls. So what kind of relationship are we talking about? So she falls on her face. And on the one hand, she's disappointed. On the other hand, she recognizes he just told her something very kind. So she tells him thank you. She's disappointed, but she says thank you. Why do you bestow this kindness upon me? And there's a seeming contradiction here. On the one hand, you began by telling me, they're talking about a shidduch between me and you, and you continue by telling me, so stick with my girls and collect. What are you telling me? So Boaz tells her, I've heard of all your good deeds. I've heard you've come to be a Gioris. But I've also heard that you've left Moabite territory. And I'm uncertain whether I can marry you. I don't know if you're allowed into the Jewish people. So we have to clarify this halacha. That's one understanding as to what Boaz is telling her here. That Boaz tells her, "Hugei du gad li." Pasuk Yudal. So let's read the psukim. I forgot we're supposed to read the psukim and explain. So I'll read the psukim and explain. So we'll begin with pasukei. Vayom bo. Just a second, sorry. Vayomer Boaz lenaro hanitzav. No, I'm sorry, I gotta get the tune, sorry. Pasuk Hey. Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Boaz lenaro hanitzav al hakotzerim. Sorry, guys, I'm off key. Give me a second. No, I'm doing the tune of the Haftarah, not the tune of Rus.
Should I get a tuning for?
That's okay. למי הנערה הזאת? פסוק ה. ויאמר בועז לנערו הניצב על הקוצרים. Boaz tells the lad who's in charge of the harvesters, למי הנערה הזאת? Who's this girl belong to? ויען הנער הניצב על הקוצרים ויאמר נערה מואביה היא השבה עם נעמי משדה מואב. So the lad who's in charge of the harvesters, he tells him, she's a Moabite girl, look how amazing she is. She came back with Naomi from the fields of Moab, and right away, Vatomil, she said, Alakotana ve'asafti va'omarim acharei hakotzerim. I'll harvest, I'll collect the stalks after the harvesters. Vatavo vataamod. She came and stood. Meaz haboker veadata. From the morning till now. Ze shivta habayit meat. She just went home a little bit now for a break. Vayomer Boaz el Rut. Hallo, shamaat biti. Al telechi lilkot besadeh acher. Vegam. Lotavuri mize. Boaz tells Rus, listen here, my girl. you don't leave this field to harvest in another field. Please don't leave here. And so you should stick with my girls. So Boaz has addressed her, and he invites her to stick with his girls. Keep your eyes on the field as they harvest, you follow them. I already told the lads not to touch you. Vitzamit v'halacht el hakelim v'shatit me'asher yishavun ha'ne'arim. You'll be thirsty, go to the vessels, drink from what the lads draw. So he invites her to stick around. V'tipol al paneha v'tishtach u'arza. She falls on her face, she bows before him. Remember, Boaz is the chief rabbi. He's the shofet. He's the leader of the Jewish people. Vatomer elav. So she says to him, Madua. Why? Matzati chen be'enecha lehakireni. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you recognize me? V'anochi nochia. And I come from a Gentile nation. I'm from the Moabite girls. I'm a girl that can't even marry into Judaism, Ruth says. Vayan Boaz vayomer la. So Boaz answers, he tells her, Hu geidu gad li. I've been told over here, one opinion in Chazal is that he tells her, I've been told, I know the halacha is that you could marry into Judaism. Only Moabite males are prohibited, but Moabite girls are permitted. That's one opinion. That's what Boaz is telling her. You could marry into Judaism. And I've been told, Kol asher asit et chamotech. All the kindness that you've done to your mother-in-law, and I have prophecy that kings and prophets are still going to come from you. I know what kindness you did, and as payback for the kindness that you did for your mother-in-law, you left the throne, you were a princess, you could have had a dynasty of kings in Moabite territories. You left it all and came to an impoverished state in Israel. God will pay you back and you're still going to have kings. You're going to be the mother of prophets. You're going to be paid back for everything you've done to your mother-in-law. For all you've done for her. Acharei moti sheikh. After your husband passed away, you supported your mother-in-law. You took care of the burial. You came with her. Vata azvi avich ve'imech. You left your religion, you left your family, ve'eretz molatech. You left the country you were born in, vateilechi. And you went, elam asher lo yadat timol shilshom. You came to live among a nation that you never knew before. You just came, you had no pilot trip. You said, this is what I believe in, I'm going. Yishalem Adonai pa'olech. God should pay you back for all the good that you've done. Utehim aschuteich shilema. God should pay you back in this world for all the kindness you've done, and you should have complete wages in the world to come. Meim Adonai Elohei Yisrael asher bat lachasot tachat kenafav. God should pay you back, the God of Israel, that you've come to become a ger, to live under his wings. And in that merit, you will not go to Gehenim. You will have a portion with Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. You're going to be like one of the matriarchs. So that's one of the answers. One understanding as to what the conversation that took place was. And then she answers Boaz and says, Vatomil. She says, I should find favor in your eyes, my master. You've comforted me. You tell me I could get married. You tell me I could marry into the Jewish people. And you've given comfort to your maid, she says about herself. You've promised me a portion in the world to come, and I don't have merits for that portion. I don't even have merits like one of the maids in the Jewish people. I'm just a beginner. So that's the end of this section of the conversation, and that's one understanding in the conversation. Now let's go back to the understanding we were saying earlier. So Boaz tells her, I have to verify. Meaning, we went with one understanding, the understanding of the Targum right now, that Boaz tells her, it's okay, you could get married. You could find yourself a good shidduch. And it makes sense that she should look for a young man. She's a young girl, she's a teenager. Boaz is an old man. We know that Boaz has only a few weeks left to live. Boaz is about to die. He might not know that. But Boaz is a really old man. So it makes sense you should find a younger shidduch. I mean, we have on tradition that Boaz marries Rus at the end of the Megillah. And the night of the wedding, he dies. They have the opportunity, they live together once, and from that comes the Davidic dynasty. But that night, he dies. Boaz tells her, you can marry into Judaism. That's the understanding of the Targum. And Rus was just given a very, very good piece of news. But there's another understanding that Boaz tells her, you know, they're talking about a shidduch between me and you. She says, then why are you telling me to keep collecting in the fields? Which way are you talking? And he says, yeah, I know you've done great things, but I also know you're a Moabite, and I don't know yet whether you could marry into Judaism or not. And even though Boaz was head of the courts, Boaz was the shofet, he didn't know the halacha yet. It hadn't yet been ruled on in the courts. So he says, we have to verify the halacha before we can talk about anything else. Boaz tells her, God should pay you back, and God should pay you back for the specific good deeds you've done. God should pay you back for the major good deeds, your general behavior that's been kind to your mother-in-law. It's obvious that you've served God for no intent of reward, and God should pay you, even so. Rus tells him, from the way you're talking to me, I understand that ultimately there's potential marriage between us, and I hope I find favor in your eyes. I understand that that's the direction it's going. So the way we're going with the Gra now, the way the Gra explains this, from their first meeting it was like love at first sight. They're already talking marriage. This is the first time they're talking, and they're already talking marriage, and he's telling her, I'm not sure I could do it, I'm not sure if it's permitted. But from the beginning, this is a relationship that has that potential. Pasuk Yudalid. Vayomer la Boaz le'et ha'ochel. Boaz tells her, when it comes time for the meal, goshi alom ve'achalt min alechim. Come forward, eat from the bread. V'tavalt piteich b'chomitz. Dip your bread in the vinegar. That's something that helps in the time that it's hot. It'll help you. V'ateishev mitzad ha'kotzerim. So she sits at the side where the harvesters were. V'yitzbot la koli. He gives her some roasted kernels, which are sweet. V'tochal v'tisbah v'total. She eats. She's satiated, and she leaves over. And she's leaving over some of the food to bring her mother-in-law. Vatakom lelaket. So she gets up to continue collecting. Vaitzav. Boaz et ne'arav. Leimo. Gam bein ha'omarim. Tilaket velo tachlimuha. Let her collect in between the rows, in between the piles. And don't shame her. Let her go wherever she wants. Vegam sholta sholula min hatzevatim. And also leave things where she'll find them. Vazavtem miliketa velo tigaruva. Leave them behind. Let her collect it, and don't yell at her. Vatelaket basadeh ad ha'ariv. So she's collecting till nightfall, and he's ensured that she'll get a lot. And then, after she's finished collecting, what do most people do at the end of a day's work? They carry their stuff home. She says, I have all these stalks with the kernels. What am I going to carry the stalks with the kernels home for? I got nothing to do with the stalks. So she breaks off the kernels. She takes the thyme, what? Kernels are the seeds from which you make the flour. So she breaks them off, and came out to a huge volume of barley that she's gotten, because he's in church, he'll get a lot. So she's working very intelligently and very diligently. And when she comes home, her mother-in-law sees the tremendous amount that she's gathered, because she's bringing home only the kernels, but she's had much more if you consider the amount of together with the stalk. You guys know how it grows. I mean, it's this high and the stalks are like this much. It's not the major part is the stalk. She carries it, she comes to the city, and her mother-in-law calculates how many stalks she must have gathered. And Rus takes out of her briefcase, she takes out of her knapsack the food that she saved for her, that which she left over after she ate the full meal that he gave her, there was still left over even after she was full. So her mother-in-law tells her, where'd you gather today? Where'd you do this? May the man who recognized you, who did this kindness to you, may he be blessed. So she tells her mother-in-law, what she did with him. She says, the man who I worked by today, his name is Boaz. That's what he's called. So notice that she describes it as the guy I worked with, the guy who I did for. What do you mean? What was she working for him? So Chazal tell us, Rus had a higher perspective on life. Ordinarily, people think when they give charity, they're doing a favor to the poor. When technically, it's not that way. We described earlier that when God gives wealth to someone, he's giving him responsibility to help those that don't have. That's the idea. Why does one have more than the other? So that he could help the other. That's why God gave it to him. So Rus says, you know, potentially, I helped him. I let him fill his potential by giving it to me. It's discussed why we don't make a blessing before we give tzedakah. So one answer is, because who said the poor will agree to take it from you? When the poor agree to take the tzedakah, you can only make a blessing on a mitzvah that you can perform now. If there's a mitzvah that you don't have control over, you're reliant on someone else to perform the mitzvah, then you do not make a blessing. So that's one answer that's given. Why don't we make a blessing on the mitzvah of giving tzedakah? We should make a blessing every time we perform the mitzvah. So one answer is, because who said you'll do the mitzvah? Maybe the pauper won't agree to take your tzedakah. So Rus says, you know who I did for today? I did for Boaz. Because I was willing to accept. That was that's an interesting perspective. Yehi makirech baruch. According to the Gra, just like earlier we said, Yevarecha Hashem, that when the harvesters told Boaz, may you be blessed by God, they were saying, may you be blessed with this girl. So too, Yehi makirech baruch, may the one who recognized you be blessed. One understanding is, may he be blessed to marry you. May he be blessed because you're a good catch. Rus tells her, okay, you stick with his girls. And now that Rus has given away the name of who the guy is, so before Naomi tells her to stick with the girls, Naomi tells her another piece of advice. Naomi tells her like this. Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Baruch Hu Ladonai Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Et HaChayim Ve'et HaMitim. May he be blessed to God, for God has not left his kindness with the living and with the dead. And then she explains. Vatomer la Naomi. Naomi tells her, Karov lanu ha'ish migoalenu. He's a relative of ours, and he's one of those that should redeem us. We didn't want to ask him for charity, but he's really responsible to help us out. Yeah? You guys with me so far? Clear? Okay. So now it's been clarified that he's a relative. And what does Naomi say? Blessed is he to God who has not left his kindness with the living or the dead. From here we see that the dead also feel for the living. If God forbid a person is a widow or an orphan, so they should know that the deceased relative feels for them. And that's why Naomi says, when God is doing kindness and he's helping us out, he's helping the living and he's helping the dead. Because the dead are happy too, when we have it good. Like our sages teach us, when a child gets married and they lost their parent, the parent comes to the wedding. We have a minog that the child goes to the grave and brings an invitation to the grave of the parent that was deceased. Because we say the parent comes to rejoice with their child.
Right.
Yeah?
Does that extend to grandparents or just parents?
I only know of parents. I don't know about grandparents. I don't know. Naomi is also appeasing Ruth a little bit. And she's telling her, you should know. You come from royalty, so did your husband. That man that you were by today, the chief rabbi of Israel, the leader, the technically the king at that time, the shofet, so he's our relative. That's our family. That's the family you married into. You also married into royalty. Batomir Rut HaMoaviyah. So Rus tells her, she sees that her mother-in-law is so happy. So she fills in more details of the story. And she tells her, Gam ki amav eilai, imanarim asher li tidbakin. He also told me to stick with his lads. Adin kilu et kol hakatzir asher li, till they finish all of my harvest. Vatomer Naomi el Rut Kalata. So Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Tov biti, ki teitzei imna arotav. You stick with his female harvesters, and I'm faithful that you won't run into any trouble. But nonetheless, you go with the girls. Velo yifgeu vach b'sadeh acher. And don't go to any other field if you're attracted over there. No, you stick with his fields because he's our relative. Vatidbak b'narot Boaz lelaket. So she stuck with Boaz's girl harvesters. Ad kilot kilitzir ha'seorim uktzir ha'chitim. Till they finished the harvest of the barley and the wheat. And she stayed with her mother-in-law. And even though the girls, she's with harvesting with the girls all day. And the girls, what do they do after work at night? They party. And she's got enough food now. She's bringing home bundles and bundles. No. She stayed with her mother-in-law. And we have to understand the time period in Israel. This was a time after years of famine, they're finally having good food. And just like there's Christmas season, Lahavdil, there's the season where everyone's partying, right? Every night there's a different bash. Well, in Israel, the period between Pesach and Shavuos, when everyone was harvesting, was a season that every night the bars were having parties. The girls were dancing, the men were happy. It was a time when they were taking in the harvest, and this was a year where there was even more reason to be happy. Because finally they had good crops. This was the second year where things were decent. This was the first year where things were decent. This was a really good year. This was amazing. After over a decade of no food. Of having to import food and things were very expensive. Finally they're having a good crop. And the pasuk stresses, Vateishevet Hamotah. She kept going home with her mother-in-law. She spent her nights at home with her mother-in-law. She wasn't out, even in the tzanua festivities, even in the things that were modest, she wasn't partaking. She kept with her mother-in-law. Again, what's the theme of the Megillah? The chesed of Rus to her mother-in-law, the chesed of Rus to the living and the dead, the chesed of Boaz, chesed. Yeah.
Were the Jews not keeping this host properly? Because isn't the land supposed to be abundant in good crops?
That's what we said, that the reason there was a famine was because they weren't keeping mitzvot. So now her mother-in-law sees that the clock is ticking. The harvest is coming to an end. And so she tells her, she sees the good traits, the love, the true love that her daughter-in-law has. And now it's been proven. So she tells her, Biti, halo, avakesh lach, manoach, asher yitavlach. I swear, I will not come to rest till I ensure that you found your peace, you found the home. I want things to be good for you.
No,
mother-in-law, right. De'ata. So now that I've promised I'm going to take care of you. Halo Boaz modatanu asher hayit et narotav. Boaz is a relative. And you've been with his girls. So we have two good things going for us. Number one is he's a relative. And number two is that you've been by him. So you see that he's already taken you in. He's got positive feelings towards you. He nehu zore et goren asorim alayla. Because there's a famine, and because a lot of people don't have food, so I know he's waiting for the night time, and then he takes care of his crops when people won't see how much food he has. And he's being zore, that's where they throw the kernels to the air, and the chaff flies off, and then the kernels fall to the ground. So he's doing that tonight. V'rachatzt v'asacht v'samt simlotayich alayich v'yarad hagorin. Go wash yourself. Put on perfume. Put on jewelry. Go down to the granary and go down beautifully, wear your Shabbos clothing. This is one of the sources for the concept of Shabbos clothing. That on Shabbos we wear special, beautiful clothing. And here we also see the concept that one of the things a woman's supposed to do when she's going on a date or she's going to be with her husband is to shower and put on perfume and wear nice clothing and wear jewelry. And we have a misconception in our day and age. Many girls think that, no, if I'm a modest girl, I don't wear perfume. If I'm a modest girl, I don't wear jewelry. If I'm a modest girl, I don't wear beautiful clothing. That's not true. Look, you have the greatest leaders of the Jewish people. Look at what Naomi tells Ruth. Get dressed nicely, put on perfume, take a shower, show up beautifully to the date. Wear your beautiful clothing. Wear the clothing you don't wear every day when you go out. Wear the clothing of your purity. Al tivadi la'ish. Don't make yourself known to anyone. No one should see you coming there. Ad kaloto lechol velishtot. Till he finishes eating and drinking. So you go down and wait till he finishes eating and drinking. Vihi v'shochvo. When he lies down. V'yadat et ha-makom asher yishkav sham. You make sure you know. You can see the place where he went to lie down. Uvat, and you go down where he's lying down. V'gilit margelotav. V'shachavt. Uncover him and you lie down next to him. And you ask him now what he recommends you do. V'hu yagid lach eit asher ta'asin. And he'll tell you what to do. So, we have to understand the spiritual concept of a shoe. A shoe. What do you do when a person dies and he leaves over no children? So his brother has a mitzvah to marry his wife. And if he doesn't marry, so then she takes off the shoe and spits, right? Why the shoe? That's called chalitza, the taking off of the shoe. Why the shoe?
Spit in her shoe?
No, she takes off his shoe and spits.
Not in his shoe.
In his shoe, she spits. And she's saying, the shoe represents like the bottom where our body steps on the earth. The shoe represents the body, the embodiment, the physical embodiment of something spiritual. Our body stands in our shoe. By the same token, when a person is born, so the soul in the body is like a human being in the shoe. What she's saying to her brother-in-law is, you don't want to give an embodiment to your brother's family. You could have given potential. If you would have married me, we could have had kids. You would have given embodiment to the souls of your brother. But you chose not to. Let your shoe be taken off of you. When Yosef's brothers sell him, what do they do with the money? What do they buy? They buy shoes. Oh, they didn't have shoes? Their father was a millionaire. They needed shoes? Or were they saying, he's dying without kids, and we're not taking off our shoes? When a person loses a relative, part of Avelus, what do? They take off their shoes. Rus is coming as a widow, and he's a relative, and he has the capacity to be a Yavon, to marry her, and rebuild the family, or he could turn his back like a brother that doesn't marry. So she's taking off his shoe, and she's saying, what are you doing? What are you going to tell me to do now that I took off your shoe? Which way are you going to go, Boaz? So Boaz is lying down, and she has this instruction from her mother-in-law what she's supposed to do. And her mother-in-law tells her, ask him, what are we supposed to do? So Ruth tells Naomi, I've always listened to you in the past, and even here, if this is what you're telling me to do, whatever you tell me, I'll do. And the word Eli is missing from the pasuk.
No.
It's a kri ksiv, meaning we read it as though it's written, but it's not really written. We don't write it. So one understanding here is that even though Naomi was giving her this advice, Rus was thinking along the same lines. Meaning, it's a whatever you'll tell me, but the pasuk is revealing that deep down inside, Rus had come to the same conclusion that they have to move things forward, and this is the way to go. So Rus goes down to the granary. So she did what her mother-in-law told her, and here the pasuk is telling us one thing and meaning something else. The pasuk says she did what her mother-in-law told her, but the pasuk tells us that she didn't do what her mother-in-law told her. Her mother-in-law said, get prepared, go to the shower, put on the perfume, put on the jewelry, and then go down to the granary. The pasuk describes it. She went down to the granary, and then she did everything her mother-in-law said. Then she rinsed herself, put on her jewelry, put on everything. Why? An intelligent person, even when he's given advice by someone smart, he figures out how to do it better. Ruth said, if I'm going to walk around with perfume and jewelry dressed like it's Shabbos, when no one else is dressed like Shabbos, what are people going to think? Oh, what's she going out of there? It's dusk. It's the time when everyone's going home, I'm going out. Well, who goes out? What type of women go out all decked out and perfume and everything and their Shabbos clothes later just as it gets dark? I don't want people to talk badly about me. So that's why Rus doesn't do it exactly the way her mother-in-law says. She does it one step better. And Be'ezrat Hashem, this is where we'll pick up, I guess, on next week, on Wednesday. We still have time before Shavuos.
Thank you very much.